Hello, and welcome to the University of Cambridge, to the Department of Chemistry. Today we're going to give you a lab tour of the Kleinemann lab. I'm Marcus.
Hi, I'm Daria.
And I'm a third year PhD student, so I've been here for a while. And Daria?
I'm a third year PhD as well, but I have been here a bit longer because I joined the group in 2017 for my master's project. And yeah, since then I've been here. I continued on for a PhD and I'm really excited to show you guys around.
Brilliant, lovely. So the Kleinemann lab is focused on single molecule macroscopy. So our strength lies in macroscopy techniques, especially looking at single molecules, how they interact in cells and how they work in vitro systems.
Our group has two main areas of research. One of them is looking at T cells, imaging of cells and receptors, and the second part is more interested in neurodegeneration. So me, for example, I'm investigating the nature of protein aggregates, which you can find in Parkinson's patients' brains.
So on the T cell side of the lab, we are focusing on the adaptive immune system, and we want to figure out what are the molecular arrangements and mechanisms that lead to activation of T cells that are really important for your health and for defeating a virus in your body. We're going to take you now through kind of a virtual experiment. And the first step we need to do, we need to prepare a sample. Whatever we're going to look at, we need some preparation to make them ready for microscopy. And this is the prep lab. This is where we start.
Yeah, so here we, as Marcus already mentioned, we prepare our samples. We clean our slides, which is also extremely important for single molecule experiments. But we also do gels, some run gels, do Western blots, do ELISA. So everything which is not microscopy is basically been done in here.
And the techniques we use are basically tethered or chosen towards what biological question do we have. So in the case of Alzheimer's disease, well, you need to aggregate your proteins. You may need to check your protein, how pure they are. On the T cell side, well, you might want to have a mimic of a cell, so we prepare supported lipid bilayers and just a range of that before we go into the microscopy.
Since we're a multidisciplinary research group, you can decide in which direction your project should go. So we have people who do a bit more biology, for example, doing cell culture, doing protein aggregation, doing gels or Westerns. But we also have people who are more into the microscopy side of things. So they develop new microscopes, they test out different methods, and they do more like a proof of concept. And we also have like a third minor group who's a bit more into programming, coding, and more into bioinformatics.
Yeah, biophysics in general requires all those disciplines to work together. So you need to go through all of them, but you can choose which one you want to focus on the most. So in addition to doing all the in vitro prep here, we also have cell culture facilities if you want to study cells directly. So as a next step, we're going to take you to the cell culture lab and show you how we perform experiments there. So here we are coming from the prep lab. We're here in our cell culture facilities. This is the Biosafety 2 lab, so we can culture a variety of cells and we can work with human cells. We keep our cells nice and warm in an incubator. And first thing you want to do when you get them out in the morning is you want to check them under the microscope. So in that case, we have some T cells growing nicely in suspension culture. And so the next step, if you want to actually image them, what we need to do is to label our cells. We need to somehow tag the protein of interest we want to follow. And one way to do this with an antibody, so having a fluorescent dye tagged to an antibody we can visualize, for example, membrane proteins. Another way would be to have a fluorescent protein directly tagged to your protein of interest. And what you would do is you would incubate your cells with an antibody and perform some washing steps, which you could do in the facility next door. And then this has a good to image. So in order to culture your cells, it is very important to keep them sterile. You don't want any bacteria growing inside your cell culture. So that's why we use a laminar airflow, where we can keep a sterile environment and culture our cells in a sterile environment. So having prepped our slides in the prep lab before, making sure they are clean, And having prepped our cells, we're now ready to look at them and go image them, which we're going to do in one of our optics labs.
Hi guys, so after we've prepared our samples, we need to image them. And so this is one of our laser labs, and all of our instruments are named after flowers. So this one is actually Arabidopsis. And also something really interesting about our setup is all of these microscopes are home built. That means that either PhDs or postdocs work together in order to make these microscopes. So we don't have any readily bought microscope in here. So this is extremely cool and interesting. If you'd like to do something like that, like to build a microscope or be involved in this part of research, that is definitely doable. So let's go inside. But before going in, always knock on the door to make sure that actually no one is in there. This is Arabidopsis. This is one of our laser labs. We have quite a few different microscopes depending on what you actually want to image. I am not imaging cells like Marcus is. I'm looking at protein aggregates. So I do 2D super resolution microscopy. But we also have setups where you can, for example, do 3D super res. And you can see that we have here in total 4 different laser lines depending on the dye that you want to excite. Before starting an actual experiment, most of the time you have to first check the alignment to make sure that everything is perfectly illuminated. And we do that with beads. And you can, for example, see how this would look like. So this is a bead solution excited with a 638 laser. And this is how it looks like. So the image I showed you was in TERF, but we can also image an epi or halo. And since our microscopes are all home built, you have to change that manually, but only after you have been trained. So first you have to understand each part of the optics in order to make adjustments. Now Marcus will show you his setup and talk you through his experiments.
All right, thanks Daria. This is one of our other microscopes called Tearlip. And so each microscope is custom built. And in general, it looks quite similar, but all of them have the slight variations and the slight bits that can do better than others. So this one is a microscope that's especially suited for live cell imaging. And as you can see, there's loads of optics involved. So the optics here cover our excitation path. In order to visualize a fluorescent dye, you need to excite it, bring it in the excited state, and then you can record the emission, the emitted photons. So we have a couple of laser lines, and these optics are here to combine all of them and bring them in a controlled way into our microscope body. And here you can see as well that we have an incubator on top of our microscope body, which is important because remember before we prepped our cells? Cells normally are 37 degrees Celsius in your body, so if you want to do cell experiments, you want to mimic that body temperature and keep them viable for longer. So as Daria said before, we do a lot of super resolution microscopy. But one downside of super resolution microscopy, you get a really high resolution, but you lose all the dynamic information. So if you want to get temporal information, you have to do live cell imaging or of your sample live imaging. And for the T-cell project, I often do multicolor live cell imaging of T-cells interacting with an antigen-presenting cell. So what you would do is you would, in quick iteration, excite your fluorophores of different colors and then record them their emission. And via that, you can do, for example, 3 different proteins of interest sequentially after each other over a time course of the interaction of the T-cell. And this is really important because when you follow the interaction of the T-cell, you can better understand how it behaves and to what kind of stimuli it does respond over time. So as you can see here, we quickly iterate the laser line we're exciting with, and that allows us to do multicolor imaging. And it looks cool. So as we said before, depending on what area you're more interested in, could be faffing a lot with the optics here, could be constantly looking at cells in a microscope, or all the other bits and pieces we've showed you so far. So we've taken our data, we've done our imaging data, can be quite a lot of data to be honest. In the end, what we need to do, we need to analyze our data. What we get are images, but in the end, we want to have quantitative data. So as a last step, I'm going to take you upstairs to our offices and where we do our image analysis.
So once you have finished your experiment, you have to do the data analysis. This is one of our offices. It's a mixed office. So in here, there are PhDs and postdocs, which is really helpful because if you have a question, there's someone who can help you with it. And I hope you really enjoyed this lecture, and I hope to meet you all soon in person. Thank you.